David Douthat.
And this is Molly Douthat.
And welcome to the More Than Hearing Feedback Loop, a bonus episode where we tell you about multiple intelligence illustrations and special effects from previous More Than Hearing episodes that we've actually used in worship and how they turned out.
In today's feedback loop, we will be going all the way back to ordinary time in February and then on through most of the weeks of Lent. We've got a lot to share with you, so let's get started.
Going back to ordinary time, week four, that was February the 7th. The passage for the day that we're looking at is the 1 Corinthians 13 passage. And if you listen to that episode, you may remember that we talked about the elastic and plastic nature of materials and of love. So I took a couple Ziploc bags and filled them with water and froze one of them and used that for the ice instead of using an icicle, because we were running out of icicles.
I know, ironically enough. Oddly, how is that possible?
Yeah. And also, it gave a little more control over the situation. So had those handy and showed them off, and seemed to work out pretty well in getting the idea across about love being squishy and flexible.
As opposed to hard and brittle.
Hard and brittle. Mm-hmm. I did have one fellow who asked me afterwards if water actually has elastic properties, and I think probably it doesn't, and had to admit that, and he was fine with the fact that it didn't. He's just wondering, because he's the kind of guy who wonders about those sorts of things.
And we'll ask you about it.
Yeah.
So then we move forward to the first Sunday in Lent on the 14th of February. And in the Old Testament passage, Deuteronomy 26, we notice that there was an actual liturgy for bringing offering in forward in worship. I thought it was a great idea, and I did nothing with it. But David did. He actually used the liturgy that we wrote and that is in the show notes, and had his congregation bring the offering forward. And how did that go, dear?
Well, it went okay. It was unusual. One of the things that made it a little awkward was we had some families that were visiting for the first time in worship that week.
Have they been back?
They have, actually.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. But I was anxious about that. And so I don't know if my anxiety came across or not. I think it probably did. Also, the couple that were holding the offering plates don't always go in for that sort of nonsense either. and so after we had everybody come up, I was the last one to come up and put my offering in, and she looked at me and said, "That was awkward." I said, "Yes, I know, but it's okay. Sometimes it's okay to be awkward."
Maybe as a heads up for that kind of a thing in the future is know who your people are going to be that are doing things in worship.
Yeah. You know, yeah.
Find somebody who's a little more open to that kind of thing, I guess.
Yeah.
Also, we had, I used the, continuing on with the money theme, I had my people take out their offering and look at coins or dollar bills and see the motto of the United States, "In God We Trust," which is actually not the motto. It's just on our money, isn't it? The motto is "E Pluribus Unum."
Sure.
Anyway, so I had them take that out and look at it, and then encourage them in the coming weeks, anytime they had money in their hands, to look at that "In God We Trust" and ask themselves, "Do we really?" And just use it as sort of a constant reminder. Then, looking at the illustrations and special effects that we suggested, we didn't use anything again until, Second Lent.
Yeah,
this is true.
We use several things.
The Luke
13. We just don't want to tell you about them.
Yeah. Yeah, we've got like 33 things that we did actually try from all of our special effects and illustrations, and we can't sit here and talk that long. I need a nap. So also in Lent 2 on the 21st of February, in the Luke 13 passage where Pharisees come up to Jesus and say, hey, Herod's after you. And Jesus turns around and says, "Well, you tell that fox I'm going to do what I'm going to do." I use that nature illustration about fox behavior, the behavior of fox, of leaping around and of playing possum, and drew a parallel between Herod and the fox. And saw some people in the congregation who have some connection to wildlife and critters in the area, nodding their heads. Yeah, I can see that. I can see that. Either that or they were just, nodding to be nice.
Well, but, people don't do that. I don't know. Maybe yours do. Might not.
Generally, when my people react, it's like,
So I guess that, Okay, so then moving on to the 28th of February, Lent 3, again in Luke 13. But a different part of Luke 13. This is where Jesus was talking about the calamities that fell on.
Right. Well, they come to him and say, "Those people in Galilee that were killed by Pilate." And
right.
He says, "Yeah, I remember those people that died in the tower collapse."
Right.
Yeah,
and so there was
senseless violence and.
Right. So there was the logical progression there where they were sinners. No. Will my sin cause the same effect? Yes.
Right.
And
huh?
Yeah. and so we named that, and people were engaged with that. I'm not sure if they were thinking or just grinding gears on that. But,
yeah, that is a gear. That is a gear grinder.
It is.
Yeah, that's one that you would have to come back to time and time again before you finally go, "Oh, got it."
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, it was engaging and got them thinking or grinding one way or the other.
Well, and then also Jesus in that tells the parable of the fig tree. And one of the things that we suggested was have somebody be a tree. And you actually did that.
I got
one of our taller members of the choir to come stand up front and be a tree.
Yes. And he's perfect for this sort of thing. And I had him in mind when.
Oh, really? That's what you were thinking of when you came up with the idea?
Yeah, probably. And he volunteered. So that was
perfect.
And. So the idea was that he's standing there being the tree, and then, there's no fruit, and okay, so you better repent. So that means
turn around.
So turn around, and he turned, and still no fruit. So there must be something else that has to happen. And then naming the different fruits, which would be actual activities that a Christian might do after having repented, and inviting the congregation to come forth with those fruits. And they did.
They had a lot of ideas. And you wrote them on sticky notes and stuck them to Jeff. Most of them stuck.
Yeah, yeah. Some of them fell off, and but that was okay. And
it's fruit tree.
Yeah. so that actually worked out really well, I think. People were very engaged at that point in the whole process and could feel the kind of a light energy around that while getting them to think about the fact that it's not just a matter of attitude.
Yeah, it's actual doing things,
changing
your life. Yeah, we also talked about serving dried figs. We could not find any dried figs the night before, but we did find Fig Newtons. And I passed out Fig Newtons in my congregation. I'm not sure I necessarily connected the reason why I was passing out Fig Newtons so much. I think it sort of it fell into it when we got to the parable. But people had a lovely snack, and so there you go.
Yeah. Going on to Lent week 4, which brings us into March, March the 6th, the gospel passage is Luke 15. It's the parable of the two sons, or the prodigal son. Mm-hmm. And we suggested doing an epic rap. And so I did that.
Cool.
Came up with it. And I believe we got that posted in the show notes, didn't
yes,
we?
It yeah. Yes, it
got
is.
Yes,
it is in the show notes.
So didn't get the recording of it up. And I don't know if we actually got it recorded or not. But anyway, it was challenging for me because I'm kind of rhythmically challenged. But I got the congregation involved with it by getting them to do the beat with a slap clap or a
slap snap.
Slap snap. Lap snap. Whatever you want to say. Whatever. Anyway.
That sounds painful.
Anyway, they were doing the beat and I did the rap or epic poem. And it turned out really well, I think. Only dropped the beat once, which was pretty good for me. and it was engaging for them. And
good. Well, I have to admit, I didn't use anything. I got so involved in the story of the two brothers that it just kind of went off on its own thing, and I wound up not using a darn thing.
Well, okay.
So that happens sometimes.
That does. Yes. That does. I also used the idea of the older son, the illustration of the older son being as guilty of waste.
Wait, I did bring that in.
Okay.
Oh, wow. God, well, it's been such a long time since I preached that sermon. Yeah, I did talk about that. I did talk about the older son being having a need to repent as much as the younger son did.
Yeah.
And it was just as lost. Yeah, okay, I guess I did.
Woo-hoo. Okay, well, good.
Okay. But you also used the Philippians 3. That's Lent 5.
That is Lent 5.
We're jumping ahead.
Okay.
I'm jumping ahead.
Well, let's jump ahead.
Okay, let's jump ahead to Philippians 3 and Lent 5.
Okay, Lent 5, that was March 13th. And the epistle lesson was Philippians 3, which is Paul talking about how all the things that made him an excellent Jew, he counted as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ. So I don't know if we actually put this in the show or not to invite somebody to come up. I think we did.
Yes.
Yeah. So to talk about profit and loss or balance sheets and the accounting of that. So I managed to do that as a special effect, invited the chair of our operations committee to come forward and do that. It was kind of a mixed bag. I don't know, maybe you can talk about how it played from the congregation, but for me, it was a little mixed because, one, it was the time change Sunday, and he was worn out and out of sorts, and so was everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
He gave a disclaimer right up front that he was a poli-sci major.
not an accountant.
Not an accountant, which was fine.
but he does have a business, and he does work with profits and loss.
He does.
Yes.
I hadn't given him a lot of warning on this either, so that didn't help.
Well, and I think he was also kind of looking for the deeper theological meaning of it as well. So he was kind of jumping ahead of you. He got ahead of you on what you were trying to do with that.
Yeah.
And he got it. I mean, he totally understood the whole idea of the profit and the loss.
Oh yeah.
But he sort of stole your thunder a little bit there.
Yeah. Well, he went a different direction too than I expected financially.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was talking about it in terms of unrealized capital gains.
Oh, right.
And I don't know what that means. So
that's the profits that folks in that particular congregation understand.
Yeah. Well, yeah. There, it had to do more with investments,
right, as opposed to just assets.
Right.
Which, you know, investments are assets.
Oh, sure, sure. I guess it sort of made sense. It didn't make as much sense for what I was planning to say next.
Yeah, you kind of had to sort of pivot and come back on that one.
Yeah.
A bit,
so I kind of suggested what I had been thinking about, and he was like,
sure, okay.
Sure.
Sounds
Can
good.
I sit down now?
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you very much. So it's kind of a mixed bag, but engaging nevertheless.
Mm-hmm.
And I think between the two of us, we gave people something to grab onto as far as the math.
Mm-hmm. And what Paul was getting at in Philippians.
Yeah.
Yeah. We also had another math smart in John 12 with the actual cost of the nard that Mary used to anoint Jesus' feet. Go back and listen to the episode, and you'll hear the math, or go look at the worksheet for that particular passage, John 12, on that day.
Basically, working out that it comes out to $55,000 worth of perfume.
Yeah, yeah. And I really played that up. I played up the fact that it was super, super expensive, and they tracked with the idea of the costly nature and the extravagance of what it is that Mary did. Out of great love. And so I pulled in the idea of God's extravagant love for us and then tried to encourage people to think, what sort of extravagant thing might you give? What is the dearest and closest and most costly thing for you? Could you give that to Jesus?
Yeah. That
without a thought?
That really hit home at our place too. Both the vast cost of what Mary had done connected with the vast cost of Paul's throwing away his reputation, basically, mm-hmm. for Jesus, and just throwing out there how easy it is to be a Christian in America today.
Mm-hmm.
And
where's the cost? Mm-hmm. Where's the cost? Mm-hmm. Also, during the entirety of my service, I burned a stick of incense, which was, again, sort of a mixed bag. It was not something that most people are used to, and it kind of inflamed some sinuses. There was one woman that wound up with a Kleenex up to her face for most of the rest of the service, and I wound up with a bit of a headache myself. I was the one closest to it. I kept it up next to me, but it did eventually get all the way in through the sanctuary because we have a small church. But yeah, that's... I'm going to consider doing that. If we do that again, we're going to open windows.
Yeah. What kind of incense did you use?
It was sandalwood.
Oh, well, that's not
yeah, just
that's
a sandalwood stick. It's not too bad. I mean, it's not overpowering, and it was just a stick of it.
Yeah.
I had two. I was going to burn them end to end, and then when the first one burned out, I thought, nope, that's enough. So.
I went ahead and bought some nard, some spike nard, and it also came along with some myrrh and frankincense.
Mm-hmm.
So three tiny little bottles for $20.
It all smelled a lot like oregano.
Well, the nard really does.
Yeah.
It's very herby as opposed to flowery. And
I always kind of thought the way that they talk about it is this sweet perfume, the sweet incense, the sweet aromas. No.
Yeah, it's not really. It's kind of woody.
Yeah.
A
plant.
Well,
made me think of pizza.
Yeah.
One of my
farm wives said she thought it smelled like soaked corn tassels.
Okay.
Yeah. So that was interesting. Anyway, we had it for folks to take a whiff after the service, and very many people wanted to and
mm-hmm.
did, and almost everyone was surprised at what it actually smelled like. And a lot of not too many people saying ooh ah, more like
yeah. Yeah, and we speculated on the pungency of in the Bible study we did the next week, we speculated on the pungency of the nard as a burial ointment as being something that would probably drive away critters.
Yeah.
So that, you know, if you've got your loved one, their body wrapped in these strips of cloth soaked in these smells, wild animals will probably stay away from the grave.
Yeah. And on that note...
Well, that's it for the feedback loop for now. We'll do it again in a couple weeks or sooner if something goes really, really well or if we have a spectacular failure. Check the show notes for more specifics. We'd love to hear from you, too, letting us know how your multiple intelligence illustrations and special effects have turned out.
Leave us a comment on the website, www.morethanhearing.org, or on facebook.com/morethanhearing. Or tweet us at More Than Hearing, or send us an email at connect@morethanhearing.org. And we'll see about including you in the next feedback loop. Until next time, stay subscribed.
And be smart.
This is a Whippet Good production.